Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with a very relaxed Tom Rackers. Before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Chris, let's look back at last week. I think maybe may have been your best overall game, both sides of the ball, special teams all year.
Yes, I agree. You know, all three phases, I thought for four quarters, I thought we played exceptionally well. You know, anytime you beat your crosstown rival who was on a three-game winning streak, averaging 400 yards rushing, and we hold them the way we did, and we score the points that we weighed the way we did, 51-7, that was a pretty dominating performance. And, you know, it's just a credit to everybody in the program, from the coaches, you know, to the guys who played on Friday night, to the scout team players who prepared us all week. We were ready for a good game. We were locked in, you know, despite, you know, all the challenges we had, locked in and ready to play well, and they played really well.
Yeah, it looked like the stage was not too big. You know what I'm trying to say? A big game, they were ready.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And from the start, you know, we offensively to take that first drive down, score as quickly as we did, get a quick pick six, you know, get a three and out, another score, 21-0. You know, we felt at that time the momentum was certainly on our sidelines, and I thought we kept the momentum, you know, for the most part the entire game. And you know, I agree with your assessment that our kids didn't shrink in the moment. They stepped up in a big game in a big stage with a lot of emotion and played really well.
This week, a little bit different, you know, but the opportunity, you know, going to Sedalia to play Smith Cotton, but the opportunity to wrap up another undefeated CMAC season. How important is a conference title?
Well, I mean, I think for us, you know, it's extremely important. You know, we went 20 years without being in a conference. And so for, you know, a long time independent school, getting the opportunity to be back and to compete for conference titles and for all conference honors, those are meaningful things. And, you know, to do what we did last year, I think that was a surprise to a lot of people that Helias, the smallest school in the conference, came in and swept it. And you know, we're poised to do that again this year. Again, the smallest team in the conference to come up and to play the way that we have again this year after a shaky start against Hannibal,
yeah,
to really get our feet on the ground and start playing really good football again. You know, to beat all three Columbia schools and to beat both Jeff City schools, and now we have one left road trip, you know, over to Sedalia, and to complete two undefeated conference seasons would be something very special.
You know, you talked about that shaky first game against Hannibal. You know, Sedalia comes in 1-6. They won the first week, and then they lost six in a row.
Yeah. And like I said, I think, you know, for Sedalia, they're a team that is searching. You know, I think when you look at them, there's moments that I think that they're playing really good football, and then there's moments, too, where I think they're struggling to play good football and to be consistent. I think it's a lack of consistency when you look at them on tape. But, you know, the one thing I'll say about the Sedalia is that they're playing hard. You know, you don't see kids on their video loafing. They're playing hard even in the fourth quarter when they're getting beat by 40 points. They've got 11 guys on defense running to the football. They have guys on offense firing off the ball. You know, I think Coach McPhail has done a good job of getting the kids to play hard for four quarters and to buy into what they're doing, you know, and play with that kind of discipline. I think they're struggling maybe as a young team, and they are pretty young, to put all the pieces together and execute at a high level. But you certainly can't fault it for their intensity on the field and their willingness to play hard for four quarters.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches and some geese stopping by in the middle of that interview. Tom, I think I don't speak for just myself. I think I speak for a fair amount of people when I say I was a little bit surprised, not in the result last week, but the spread last week. The 51-7 win was a pretty commanding win against Jeff City.
Yeah, strangely enough, you know, I had a couple people mention my prediction that you know, it was to be 34-28. Ooh, you were really off. Well, yeah, so I was surprised too.
Sure.
I think that just shows how much improved Helias defense has gotten each
sure.
week. You know, you throw that first week out and they, which you can't, but I mean, they learned a lot that week. And I think that may actually be part of the reason why they're playing so well now. They learned a lot and they got focused and they're playing. You know, you go back and look, I think the first team has given up maybe 4 touchdowns or 5 in these 6 weeks since then. You know, so they are stopping people. And so maybe, you know, looking back, should have thought that, they're going to maybe get a chance to stop the Jays' running attack. But again, I didn't know that they would close it down, with the exception of one play, how well they would close it down.
That's the thing, is I think it's not surprising, the fact that you, if you tell me, gosh, I should have expected this, and I did kind of expect this from a standpoint of, guess what? Helias has very good coaches over there. They have very good coaches who know how to come up with very good game plans. They have very good kids who learn those game plans, and they execute them usually very well. That was just a matter of all that coming together from the standpoint of, gosh, if you could have drawn it up on a chalkboard and said, this is the perfect outcome we're looking for. Well, it only gets more perfect by keeping them from scoring at all. So I think that's exactly what you wanted out of that. So again, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it's still impressive when you do something like that.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to linebacker Gage Gildy and safety Carson Bronner after the game, and I asked about that, David Bethune's 75-yard touchdown run. You know, their Jays only scores, and they both said, yeah, we'd never seen that formation in all the film we'll study, so we weren't exactly sure what we should have jumped into, and they caught us. You know, they caught us. He's a great kid. You know, a great running back, took off and went and, you know, basically said, tip your hat to him.
Right.
They got us on that.
Right.
But that was the only play they got.
Yeah.
So, I think if you are a Hawaii's fan looking forward, you should be optimistic about what the rest of the season with what the defense did. And that we're not even going to get, we haven't got to the offensive part.
That was my next question. Yeah. Perfect segue. So, let's go to the flip side then. So, the other side is again, I think the 51 was a little surprising from the standpoint of not the fact that they could do it, because we've seen that capability from them, but I also feel like big game atmosphere against a crosstown rival, you go, okay, 51, again, if you put it up on the chalkboard and go, I'll give you 51 at the beginning of the game, you'd say, sure, give me that, and I will like our chances all day long.
Yeah, going in, I didn't know how good the Jays' defense was, you know, because they have given up some points during the year against teams that Helias had sort of shut down.
Right.
Or at least, kept in check. So I thought Helias would score some points, but I didn't know they'd get to 51. But I think part of that is the product of the defense, three and outs.
Sure.
There was a defensive touchdown. Bronner intercepted a pass and returned for a touchdown. I think, get three and outs, getting the ball in good field position and being able to score and then taking advantage of it. Yes, the offense had to finish in those drives.
Right.
So it was, I talked to Chris a little bit. I thought Battle may have been their best game that they played this year going into Friday, last Friday.
But right.
I think, that game, with everything that goes on around it, especially, they look a little jittery, especially on offense against Capital City. What were they going to do against Jeff City in a bigger game, a little bigger spotlight? Well, they responded very, very well.
Absolutely. Runs, I'm out of 6-1 overall, 5-0 in the CMAC. I think, I don't think I'm talking and telling any tales out of school when I say that I think it goes to 6-0 in the CMAC and they run a perfect, slate this year. Because Friday, 7 o'clock Friday at Sedalia Smith Cotton, it's a Smith Cotton team that's, 1-6 overall and 0-5 in the CMAC, and frankly has had plenty of struggles this year.
Yeah, they've they broke a 10-game losing streak when they won their first game at Moberly, scored 32 points. Well, they've lost their last 6, and they've scored, I think, 24 or 28 total points in those games. I mean, I know they haven't gotten to 32. So, yeah, things have kind of shifted. Hawaii didn't look very good the first week and has won 6 in a row.
Right.
They've kind of gone just kind of flip-flop. Talking to Chris about it, he said, you see some good things on film from them, but their stuff that they're still working on and they just haven't he said it's like they haven't found their identity.
Yeah.
They're trying they're throwing all kinds of things at the wall to see if something sticks.
Yeah.
And that's offensively and defensively. He said offensively they've seen him in all kinds of formations. Quarterback under center, running out of the I or flex bone type offense. He said they're in a spread, where they're running options and stuff, and he said we don't quite know what we're going to see out of them because they run it all. and we have to kind of be ready for all of it.
Right.
Now, one thing is that Pius put their schedule. They've seen these teams.
Sure.
They're not starting from scratch. They've seen a lot of this stuff already. It's just kind of a refresher course. And then defensively, he said it's the same way. They operate out of a 3-4 basic defense, but they'll jump into 4-3. He said, we'll see four different types of defenses. You know, we've got to be ready to go against all those too. You know, yeah, we've seen them all, but it's just kind of having to go back through it again and refresh what's going on.
Yeah, and I think if you need any more indication of kind of what the season has been for Smith Cotton, you look at just last week, and you know they lose 46-6 to a Capital City team that had not won a game this year and hadn't scored very much this year and put up 46 last week. So you go, yes, they look like they're a team that's struggling on offense and trying to find an identity, and apparently, yes, they're struggling on defense because the defense gave up a bunch to a team that hadn't scored a bunch this year. So yeah, it's just what do you expect from them.
He said, Chris said, the one thing we know is that they're going to play hard. He said, you watch films, even in the games where they're getting blown out, they play hard for all four quarters.
Okay.
He said, the defense comes at you. It doesn't matter what the score is. They come in offensively. They fire off the ball. He said, they are going to play hard for four quarters no matter what the score is. He said, that's impressive. He said, that tells you something about those kids, and it tells you something about the coaches that they've got, that they're trying.
Yes.
They haven't given up on the season.
Right. So the tricky part, I guess, is with some of the way things are shaping up, and we've talked about this on a couple of different podcasts this week. I encourage everyone to listen to all of them. But some of these teams and some of these matchups this week in Week 8 are a lot more intriguing maybe than this one is for Helias. And it's also kind of weird from the standpoint of you look at it, okay, and next week with a currently 0-7 Vianney team does not look much more intriguing. So it's almost like a lot of teams are kind of still have a lot to play for in terms of conference races or district seedings or just kind of intriguing matchups. These next 2 weeks are just going to be a matter of how focused I think Helias can keep, just from the standpoint of we're expected to do a job. Let's go out and prove that we can do that job, even though there's just not a whole lot that's leading us to be, you know, horribly intrigued about the matchups.
Yeah, Chris, I don't think he would say this or say this out loud. He knows they're not going to play as good as they did last week.
Sure.
Against Smith Cotton. They're just not. I mean, that was a big game in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But he also doesn't want them to come out there and be flat.
Right.
And just kind of, you know, just muddle their way through a game, which, you know, frankly, they should win.
Right.
Pretty easily. And, he said he did say one thing to look at, you know, look at our penalties, you know, Friday night. See if we have a lot of penalties or if we're turning the ball over. He said that'll be a sign that we're probably not focused. And really, this is the time of the year you don't want to lose your focus.
Right.
Because, yeah, Sedalia may not be very good. And yeah, Vianney may not be very good, but those are your two games heading into districts. And then you're more than likely, and I'm going to say almost 100%, you're going to get a bye in the first week of districts.
Right.
So basically, you're going to have a week off anyway. You want to keep this thing rolling.
Sure.
And so I think that's one thing to really watch out for in this game is how good they are going to play.
Right. Yeah, you don't want any kind of disruption at this point in the season, especially the way it's been trending upward as the season has gone on. You don't want any hiccups that don't need to be there or don't, you know, kind of just kind of an involuntary spasm that you don't need to have at this point. How you know, one of the things that always intrigues me about the season is that it's a short season in many ways, it's a long season in other ways. How's the overall health of the team at this point, and how are we in terms of, yeah, you mentioned that we might have two maybe kind of off weeks and then another off week to get healthier if maybe people need to, but how is the overall health of the team at this point?
Pretty good. Drew Disler, who's kind of been in and out, you know, he played with an injury. He kind of plays when they kind of need him.
Okay.
He's going to be a game time decision tonight. You know, but offensive, defensive lineman, you know, a steady presence on both sides of the ball for him. He'll be, but yeah, I would be surprised if he played, but you know, you never know.
Sure.
You know, Nate Rourke, who is their deep snapper, he got hurt in the JV game against the Jays on Monday, hurt his back. He is going to play, but probably only be the deep snapper. I mean, he takes snaps sometimes on offense and defense, but only the deep snapper.
Tom, we've been doing these News Tribune podcasts for a number of years now, and this might be the first time we've ever mentioned a deep snapper across any of the spectrums of these things. So good on you.
The last 3 years with Ethan Holzhauser, he was great at it.
Okay,
you know, and so anyway, Rourke, one thing you might not think about it, but with a deep snapper, if you change, that changes the timing.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And with Vinny Calvaruso, with the holder, with Tyler Sambody, and the kicker, Vinny Calvaruso, and the punter, Calvaruso, as well. So it just makes everyone more comfortable if it's the same, if it's sure. the same three combos. And so, you know, he's gonna go. He said he thinks he'll be ready to go. Will Harebold had an injured toe. He didn't play the last 2 weeks. He's going to play second leading rusher. He'll be back. So they're kind of getting healthy again. And Chris said, you know, the viral thing that was going around is cleared up. And so everybody's just not hacking and
right.
sneezing all over each other. So they're getting good. They're getting healthy at the right time. I think that it's all good in that regard.
All right. I guess that gets us to the prediction point. So how bad do you see this one being on Friday night?
All right. In my defense last week, I did say Vinny was going to have a big week, and he ended up kicking three field goals. So, that part I got right. Look, this is a Hawaii's. It's a Hawaii's win. In an ideal world, you know, it's going to sound like I talked about Capital City. In an ideal world, you get out to a big league, get your starters to the bench, get back home.
Yeah.
You know, I think, hopefully the Crusaders, for their point, you know, 35-0 at half, get out, starters play one series each in the third quarter, reserves get in and get, you know, wrap up another CMAC title. I'm going to say Hawaii's 49-0.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.